Coming up next on Tech News Today, the U.S. government might start shooting down domestic drones. Also, Google has plans to track its users' buying habits while they're in actual stores. Intel is making the Thunderbolt 3 specification royalty-free. DJI showed off the Spark mini drone. And we talk about Megan's new swim desk. All that and more coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1775, recorded Wednesday, May 24th, 2017.
Welcome to Tech News Today. This is a show where we tell you what you need to know about technology today.
That worked really well. I think we're getting it down finally.
We are. If you're listening, I mean, this just gives you another reason to watch because it's pretty fantastic how Brian works the cameras there.
Yeah, you're Megan. I'm Jason. Speaking of watch, check out what I got. Ooh. This is the Huawei Watch 2. The sportier version of the Huawei Watch. I'm not sure how I feel about it. But I just got it.
A little too round.
Yeah, well, I know how you feel about round watches. Come on.
Round smartwatches.
Round smartwatches.
Round regular watches, fine. Round smartwatches, abomination.
But it works fine. It's fine. It's just a different type of screen, that's all.
Is it heavy on your, like, do you feel
no,
like
it's actually pretty
out?
Light. I gotta say, it's very light compared to, what was it, the LG Watch 2 mm-hmm. or whatever that mm-hmm. I also have in there.
But can you make phone calls and accept phone calls?
I'm sure that you can. I haven't dove into it that much. I literally unboxed it like a few hours ago and just charged it up.
But you got your Twitter on there.
I got my Twitter on there, yeah.
It's important.
It's actually really easy to set up. Android Wear, they kind of have it at a point where it just kind of synced every. Oh, you're reading my Twitter! Go away. Oh my goodness. What have you seen? You've seen the auto tweets about Tech News Today. That's horrible. Anyways, I'm going to play around with this and I'm sure I'll review it somewhere on the network at some point. I don't know if on this show or on All About Android, but I'm going to play around with it.
Shall we get to today's tech news?
Let's do it. The New York Times reported on a document that shows how the Trump administration is asking Congress for the ability to capture or destroy any drone from the sky that they deem a threat to a, quote, covered facility. The document seems to extend this right to any of the armed forces, federal officers and federal employees, and could extend to the police. I'm imagining that would be the case anyways. The report also absolves any of those people from any legal action that might result from the capture or destruction of those drones, and also allows agents to intercept wireless communication to and from drones. The reason behind the report is, you know, as with a lot of things these days, clamping down on things to hopefully, you know, defend against acts of terror or that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have one word for this. Fear. Like, it's just like, could they be any more afraid of something they don't understand? Like, that is what I see. Like, I not only can they capture, destroy it, they can... if you read the document, they can redirect it. They can disable it. They can track without consent. Track. So, you know, and I guess it's, you know, they're saying that it is a drone that they deem a problem. So mm-hmm. maybe, like, you know, if it's an Amazon drone delivering your diapers, then, you know, they might assume that that one is okay.
Stand down. There's diapers on board.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just so widespread. Like wide ranging, like we don't know what, like all those agencies you listed, that's a lot. I mean, I understand the governments have some concern over drones, like the drone that flew over the White House. It mm-hmm. turned out to be just someone drinking and droning who lived nearby. But I understand the concern, but this seems too broad.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, obviously this hasn't, like, it's not official at this point. This is just a report that, I guess, was leaked to the New York Times. Supposedly, it's expected to be part of the National Defense Authorization Act, so that could happen within the coming days. But yeah, it does seem a little overly broad. It is tackling some things that right now are very much, you know, prohibited in a lot of ways. Currently, intercepting signals would be considered wiretapping or accessing a protected computer. Destroying or disabling a drone in the sky could be considered aircraft sabotage per FAA rules. So this yeah, this definitely changes things, whether it's necessary or not. I mean, I can totally understand, though, like drones over the White House, like that probably shouldn't happen. I wouldn't expect that would be okay. This just seems to open it up even further and potentially kind of make it so that everything falls under the rule. You know, it's like, yeah, well, if we decide that it's not okay for whatever reason whatsoever, then we've decided that and we now have full, you know, resolution to remove it from the sky and not be held accountable for it, no matter what the purpose.
Right. Anywhere, not these geofenced areas that are already, one would assume, you're mm-hmm. not, you know, you definitely aren't allowed to fly over the White House or right. stadiums, or there's all kinds of places, but this is like, this is just anywhere.
But at the same time, you could also see a reality where a drone could be used for some
yes,
of these.
I understand their concern, absolutely.
For some of these things, and that is concerning. So, maybe just a little bit more levity needs to be brought to it, and maybe it will once it finally actually hits that National Defense Authorization Act. I guess we'll see.
We'll be paying attention, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Google can now prove to advertisers that you are buying stuff, even if you are buying that stuff in a brick-and-mortar store. The company announced a new tool that uses credit card receipts to track purchases in physical stores. And if you're playing the drinking game that lets you take a shot of something when we say the magic words, then get your drinks ready, because the company says they're using machine learning to do it. Drink them if you got them. What Google did not say is how they obtain consent from those brick and mortar merchants to access the credit card data. So this they announced this at the Google Marketing Next conference. This was an announcement for marketers, not for consumers. Hey, we can track what you're buying wherever you want to buy stuff. They were definitely saying this, giving this information for advertisers. I wonder just if this is one of those things that will be ignored by the general public, or if they'll just say like, hey, that's too much. Like that's too intimate to know where I go and shop in a store. If you're paying cash, you can still have your privacy. But if you use a credit card, they're going to know these things now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. If you were to go back 5 years and look at what we allow for right now when it comes to our privacy, we probably would have assumed then that we wouldn't allow for certain things now. Google does this to a certain degree. They do it with location tracking right now, where if you opt into location tracking, they can, you know, they understand what you're searching, what sites you're going to, what products you're searching for, all that kind of stuff. And then they compare that with your location history and say, oh, isn't it strange that yesterday you went to the Lowe's site and that, you know, based on an ad that we showed you, and then tomorrow we see that you went to Lowe's, or the next day we see that you went to Lowe's, and they can, you know, potentially siphon that information back to their advertisers and say, you know, within a certain level of likelihood, this led to that. And that's valuable to advertisers to know that there's some sort of action that happens. We allow for that because we opt in for location sharing. And a lot of people don't think to opt out or to think about, like, does that quantify as creepy? Is that part of a creepy line, do you think?
For me, it's not. I mean, yeah. For me, like, I know I have location. I don't even use an Android phone, and I have location yeah. tracking turned on in my Gmail account. So, like, I can go back and see all the places where I've been. But I feel like for a lot of people, it is. And, you know, whenever I say that, you know, well, it's fine. So they're tracking where I'm going. You know, it's this idea of, like, it's okay right now, but that information is stored places. What can it be used? Like, let's say something, you know, something horrible happens nearby where I was, you know, and mm-hmm. someone's trying to make it look like I did that horrible thing. You know, I certainly turn over enough data to make, you know, to allow anyone to really finger me for anything.
Yeah, yeah, or learn more about you, which yeah. is what it's kind of all about.
Right, it's not, yeah, that is what it's all now, but I'm talking about yeah. the dystopian future.
Let's not go to the dystopian future. It's a dark, dark place sometimes when I really think about it. I do think that, you know, like you said, I'm sure there are a lot of people that are concerned about this sort of stuff, but they don't do a whole lot about it to, like, not do it. You know what I mean? This location tracking, just as one example, most people don't turn it off. Most people leave it on. And maybe that's them not understanding what it's actually being used for, or, you know, what the potential is around that. But people aren't concerned enough to seek it out and make sure it's not happening. And I'm sure it would be the same here. Google's saying that it's not handling these records directly. But, you know, it understands its side of the game. Its side of the game is search and how search integrates with its products and how user behavior happens on while using its products. They say they're working with partner companies that already have access to somewhere around 70% of these transactions for credit and debit cards in the U.S., and that it's a double-blind kind of matching between them. Neither side sees the data from the other side, but when there's a double-blind match, that's information that they can send, but then send on to the advertiser and say, hey, what do you know? This worked, you know?
I would like at some point, and maybe someone's already done this, put a monetary figure on our personal information, like what we share, and just see how much Facebook owes me, how much Google owes
me.
Right. You know, just to put a figure on it. Because we're, you know, I use all these services for free. Yes, Google Photos is amazing, but is it worth like the $75,000 the company's gotten off me this year? I just made that figure up. I don't know. If it's anywhere close, it could be double that, it could be half that. I have no idea. And that's maybe that'll be my goal for the month, to try to put a monetary figure on our personal information.
I know that I've seen that done before, though. And I can't remember exactly what it is, but I know I've seen it done in the terms of Facebook, as far as like per Facebook user, how much is a single Facebook user worth in a monetary value sort of metric to a company like Facebook or a company like Google. There are ways to figure that out. It's outside of my pay grade. I don't understand how to make that work. But if you do, email us, tnt@twit.tv. Maybe you know what I'm talking about, because I know I've seen that before in terms of Facebook. And it's actually pretty eye-opening when you put a figure to it and you go, oh, that's what all of my privacy is worth to someone. Facebook. In its attempt to bring Thunderbolt further into the mainstream, Intel announced plans to make the Thunderbolt 3 specification royalty-free, removing a barrier for hardware manufacturers that want to use the data transfer specification in their products. Intel is also integrating Thunderbolt 3 into its CPUs, which it hopes will help drive adoption of the protocol in devices and peripherals using Intel's chips. So they have to be using Intel's chips, obviously, to benefit off of Thunderbolt 3. But until now, Thunderbolt has just been a pretty expensive thing to license. As a result, you know, that's limited its reach. Intel's now basically removing that cost barrier and embedding it into their chips so that hopefully the protocol can spread even faster. And if somebody's using, if a hardware manufacturer is already using an Intel chip, it lowers the barrier and makes it much easier for them to go with Thunderbolt and get high speed data transfer and do all the crazy things that it allows for.
So Thunderbolt, I'm going to admit some of the things I don't know right now. Thunderbolt is on the inside, right? It's not like, you can't tell what a Thunderbolt connection is by what it looks like Intel,
right?
Like USB-C or Lightning or, USB 2.0. That's, you can tell what those are, but Thunderbolt's what's inside, and the what goes out could be any shape.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for example, it was like a year or two ago when the MacBook came out with the USB-C port. I guess that was just last year. It feels like a lot longer than that. But using the Thunderbolt spec. So it's using USB-C as the connector type to pass through Thunderbolt. And, and actually in that example, that was one way that Intel helped kind of further along with Apple to further legitimize USB-C as kind of a connector type in devices, that helped legitimize that at least a little bit further. It's all over the place in Android. This is like our second day in the row talking about USB-C, by the way. But yes, Thunderbolt is kind of the technology for that data throughput. And it's using, in this case, or at least in the case of the MacBook, USB-C as the kind of connector type through which that data flows.
Got it. So the idea is that it would not only be faster, but more simple to use.
More kind of multi-purpose. It's all about data transfer speeds when you're talking about Thunderbolt. It can transfer a 4K video, 4K movie, rather, in 30 seconds at 40 gigabits per second. That's just high-speed data throughput, so you can do a lot more things with hardware that supports those speeds. You know, in this modern world of 4K video, and 4K video is only one example of high data needs now.
Right, because so. I mean, a lot of us just think about like how so much stuff is in the cloud. I'm going to put this video on my you know, on my laptop and it's, you know, on Amazon or something, and I'm just going to get it down there from the internet. So that's slow. We could take hours or whatever. We don't think about all the things that we used to do by connecting. Like, we used to have to connect our camera to our laptop to get the photos on there. We used to have to, you know, connect for all kinds of things, but we don't have to do that so much anymore. But if we want, if speed is important, and we still need to.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, there might be hardware peripherals. Like, I'm thinking in the audio and video world, you might be running, you know, outboard gear that ties into your computer, and it uses Thunderbolt specifically because it's passing so much information back and forth just to do what it's doing, be it live video preview, you know, at 4K resolution with multiple inputs and all that kind of stuff. That might be one benefit of why you would need all of that. All of that data speed and the capabilities of Thunderbolt. So Intel, you know, Thunderbolt as a specification has been around for a while. It's just kind of been, I don't know, it hasn't spread, I think, as much as Intel would probably hope, because it's been kind of expensive and it's limited its reach as a result. So this will hopefully open it up. I don't know how long it takes for this to take hold. And I think their plan is to do this sometime next year. So.
Another thing I learned that you might want to bring up at a cocktail party next time Thunderbolts or USB-C comes up
all
at your
time.
Cocktail party, it takes up less space on the logic board.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I know that comes up at cocktail parties all the time. Yeah.
But that's actually very now. That's a very modern thing, right? Is that all this miniaturization trying to get, you know, and what is limiting, you know, it's part of the reason why Apple got rid of the headphone jack in the iPhone, because it allowed them to miniaturize the device even further because they weren't constricted by the, you know, the footprint of the headphone jack that was in there. So it's all about miniaturization as well.
At an event at Grand Central Station in New York City today, DJI announced a new tiny drone. It's the Spark Mini Drone, and if DJI is to be believed, it is the drone for everyone. Everyone who has $500 to drop on a drone that's the size and weight of a soda can. It's got some cool features, including the ability to control it with your hand gestures and a camera that can recognize faces. The Spark will be available in Alpine White, Sky Blue, Meadow Green, Lava Red, and Sunrise Yellow. It will ship in June, but it's available for pre-order right now.
It's only half a pound. It's half a pound, this tiny little thing. It's cute.
If I had $500, I would absolutely buy that right now. But I don't, so I won't.
And when I do, I'll probably think of something else that I need to buy before. Actually, I think this is pretty neat. Although, but we should ask Brian, because Brian is very familiar with all of this drone stuff, and I have yet to get one. I don't know why I'm lagging in this regard. What do you think, Brian?
I think it looks pretty cool, but it definitely seems not necessarily made for, like, I don't know, kind of the hardcore drone users at this moment.
Right.
I'm looking at it looks more like the kind of the kid version of the DJI Mavic is the other one that they have.
That's the one that you could fit in a backpack, right?
Right, correct. And that one has like close to 30, I think 30-ish minutes of flight time. And this one's kind of like half that. It's cool, but it definitely feels kind of like the kid version of the Mavic. I'd love to try one out.
$500 kid version of the Mavic.
Yeah, that is like the half the price of the Mavic too. I think it comes in at $1,200 if you do like the pro version of the Mavic.
Right.
And I don't know what the camera is on it. And
yeah, that's a good question, actually.
I don't know. I never want to be the first gen owner of a lot of these drones and stuff too. Not that like DJI has as bad a track record as GoPro does.
I mean, right. As far as drones go, DJI is pretty much the market leader, right?
It's pretty solid, yeah. It looks like they're advertising it where you can hook it onto your belt, too, and just go for a walk.
You know, it's portable. You could just hook it on your belt loop. No big deal.
It does have a camera. Our chat room is asking. Mike in the chat room is asking if it has a camera. It's 1080p camera.
That's cool.
Yeah, so
The hand control where you feel like a Jedi. That's
yeah, so
awesome.
There's the mom test they did. It's always like, does it pass the mom test? Which someday I'll stop being offended by, because some moms are, you know, can fly any kind of drone. So yeah, it was easy to use, I guess. The demo worked perfectly at the show, they said. So yeah, I'm guessing the price will come down. Maybe, I don't know. $500 still seems steep.
It's not bad. And it's got DJI's software behind it, right, which is all the tracking and stuff. So that's pretty cool.
And I imagine DJI as a brand for drones kind of carries a premium because of its reputation in the drone category. It's kind of known for the higher end, really well, you know, well built, good construction drones. Yeah. It's known for that, so it can probably command a little bit more off the top because of it. They have a $200 accessory pack that you can add on to it. That includes a charging hub, propeller guards, which I think you saw in the video, an extra battery, remote control. And you said half the flight time, 16 minutes of flight time on a charge, 31 miles per hour top speed, obstacle avoidance. I just like the idea of the hand Jedi control. Gestures. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Move over there now.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're just like basic gestures, fly. Though. They're like, you know, land and soaring, but then for more specific gestures.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe they'll improve that. It's really cool if you could, like, do a couple of them at the same time. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, let's get one to play with, right, Jason?
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
If you need another reminder why it might not be a good idea to download pirated content online, here you go. Checkpoint researchers have discovered that subtitle files commonly offered for pirated films on services like Kodi, Popcorn Time, Streamio, and even the cross-platform VLC Media Player app can carry payload code that grants remote hackers access to the viewer's computer when loaded while watching a video without an indication that it's even happened in the background. Subtitle files have been easily overlooked as an attack vector. Usually they're just simple text files, so people don't think of them very much. As such, Checkpoint says this is the most widespread zero resistance vulnerability to be discovered in quite a while. And I mean, you know, further complicating it is just the fact that there are multiple different file formats for subtitles. So when you go to, like, they show in a video where they demonstrate it, and they like go to Popcorn Time, it has this little pop-up window where you can select from a number of different subtitles. Like, there's no indication. You just don't know. You click on it. It loads the subtitle as you would expect it to and embeds that into the video while you're watching it. But meanwhile, on the back end, the attacker is basically watching you watch it.
You're trying to get someone else's, you know, culture, try to watch a movie with subtitles, do all the right things, and then you're punished. Do all the right things, except for pay the right for the video.
With a really large asterisk.
Yes. So all these sites, Popcorn Time, Streamio, VLC, they all have a fix. And I'll say that, but even though we don't recommend using these.
Yeah, I mean,
it's illegal.
Yeah, Checkpoint did responsible disclosure. They checked in with them individually before kind of going public with it. But it illustrates, I mean, well, A, like I said, it illustrates the risks involved with kind of, you know, living in that pirated content world. You never quite know. But also, like, subtitle files seem so simple, seems so innocuous, yet it turns out anything, you know, anything, especially things that you might expect, like, why would anyone touch that? It's a simple text file, is capable of carrying a payload. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't know it. So, you know, be careful out there, mm-hmm. I suppose, if you use those services, which maybe you already are being careful, but you need to be more careful. Here's some feedback about a story we reported a few weeks ago about augmented reality glasses for cyclists. I thought it was kind of a cool technology. Is it Vaugh or Vo writes, as someone who commutes via cycling, the concept of these smart cycling glasses, and more broadly, a head-up display of any kind for cycling, is one I have been interested in the past couple of years. However, unless they solve the prescription glasses problem, it won't be something I can use. I have a rather heavy prescription, and therefore any such device would have to be able to account for that fact. It would also seem that such a device wouldn't be too hard to repurpose for any type of driving, motorcycle riding, or even other forms of outdoor fitness. Not having to look down at a phone or GPS device while doing any of these things would seem to be a good idea. And yeah, that that reminded me of when I first got the Google Glass, and I went to the Google campus, and they did their fitting, which they had to do then when you got Google Glass. They had this whole ritual where you go there and they help you with the fitting and introduce you to the technology. And then I wore it on the drive all the way home, and I navigated using it. And that was one thing that I actually really liked, aside from the fact that, you know, you were wearing Google Glass on the drive home. Just the fact that I never had to look at anything. My eyes were on the road, and up here in the corner of my vision, I had the kind of directions just appearing and sitting there ready until I made the turn. It was actually a really cool way to do that.
I have two addendums to this story and the story before that. First of all, I left the N off of Vaughn's name. His name is Vaughn. Sorry about that. That's my fault. Okay. Not Vaugh, but Vaughn.
Hey, Vaugh.
Also, sorry, Vaughn. I feel VLC is not just used for pirating. I know there are good uses. And I feel like maybe I was a bit judgmental about pirating movies. Just be safe out there.
VLC is more of a media player. That it plays any type of media files. It's really good at playing media files that you would have a hard time playing in any other player. Popcorn Time, on the other hand, you're probably using it because it's all about streaming, for the most part, pirated copies of movies and TV shows online. So. But you could probably extend that to some of those services.
Yes. And also, I guess two addendums are addenda. So thanks for that in the chat room, too, for the help. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds right. Addenda.
Oh, that works for me.
We have more addenda. Yesterday, we told you about John, who reads 75 to 100 books a year. John heard us referring to her as a he, and she wrote in to notify us that she is not a he, but a she. I'm sorry, John. By the way, John, if you're listening, I tried to be your friend on Goodreads, but I didn't know the answer to your secret question. So I guess we don't know each other at all, John.
Man.
So as my good friend Brian Burnett says, gender is just a social construct, really. But I apologize for calling you a she, John. But do you know Goodreads? I tried to be your friend on Goodreads. It said add friend. And then she had a secret question, something personal. And she wouldn't be anyone's friend unless they could answer that question. I didn't know you could do that. That's
it didn't
cool,
give
though.
You like, if you know their email address, then you're good to go.
No.
Which would be about the only thing you probably know
secret.
About John.
Yeah, it is.
And well, also, Goodreads is still around? It's still
Goodreads,
a thing?
It's, they're owned by Amazon.
But oh, okay. They aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used Goodreads years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use Goodreads when you listen to a book?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay.
I do.
There you go.
Because then I could talk about it.
Yeah, it qualifies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Gregory writes in to say GIF, GIF or GIF, however you want to say it, stands for Graphics Interchange Format. GIF, J-I-F, is peanut butter. As a truck driver, I shouldn't have to tell tech pros this anymore. Then you should have to tell me how to double clutch. Fine. Whatever. Personally, I go with GIF and GIF. I don't really care. I interchange them. It's how I make everyone happy.
Well, I go by GIF because that's what the creator said it was. And
that's
we have a video
important
to prove it.
Oh.
Instead of speaking his five words tonight, Steve is using his own invention to accept his award.
He's accepting an award.
Mm-hmm. A Webby.
Oh, a Webby. It's pronounced...
GIF.
GIF. Not GIF.
Not GIF.
Okay. You heard it on the Webbies.
But
you
Joe,
heard it on the 17th Annual Webby Awards.
So, Joe, we explained to you why it's called GIF and not GIF. So, I think you owe us an explanation of what a double clutch is, unless you already know.
Nope.
Oh, what double clutching is? It's a verb. An adverb. Double clutch.
Is that an ice cream sundae or something?
I don't know. Before 2017 is over, I want to know how to double clutch. And whether it's Joe or David Wilhoit, the creator of the format GIF.
GIF. Although, I mean, you know, but I understand the other side of it. Graphics. Gh.
Yeah.
You know. An argument that will never go away. People feel very strongly about how they pronounce that three-letter word.
Mm-hmm. Saying GIF is worse than having a round smartwatch. Just saying.
GIF.
TNT's fan of the day is Joe. because hopefully he has a sense of humor for letting me make fun of him. And also Walt Wright, who sent us this picture saying, TNT, along with the greater Twit networks, is my go-to when I'm working in the office. I get to keep up with the current tech while I'm pounding the keys and setting up, fixing computers. Keep up the great tech journalism.
Nice. Three screens. I like it. Although I'm sad to see the passing of Roger Moore on one of those screens. That was very, very sad news from a few days ago.
That is sad. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup and post it on Instagram, Google Plus, Twitter, or Facebook. You too could be the fan of the day. Use the hashtag HowIWatchTNT and we will find it.
Yeah, do it. Please send us in some more. We were on a roll and then things kind of slowed down a little bit. So, hey, we're pretty much guaranteed to get in sometime in the next week if you do it. If you've ever wanted to go for a jog through water, I'm here to tell you that this is your lucky day. The Water Walker is a new type of treadmill that throws you into a tank full of water that effectively limits shock on your joints by reducing body weight, they say, by up to 80% while running inside. Though the Water Walker is great for people who are recovering from injury and also very good for the elderly for keeping kind of the weight off the joints, it can also be ratcheted up to challenge more active trainers because running fast in water is hard. If you've ever tried to do that, I've tried to do that. Like when I'm at the pool at the gym, it's really hard. It's really difficult to do that. I can't imagine doing that every day because of a fitness regimen. But there you go. Are you going to get a water treadmill?
I would get a water treadmill only because it looks awesome. And also, I hate fighting over the lanes with the ladies at the pool. They're rough, those ladies. So
then you'll be fighting over the water walker.
Well, I mean, if there's a water walker at the gym, that's great. Because, I mean, I'm not going to get this in my house. Except for, it holds an iPad. Did you see that? Or it has some sort of screen that you can watch TV while you're, walking in water.
Yeah, maybe it's like it's one of those challenges that you see at treadmills where you're actually riding down the road. But in that case, you're walking through water road or something. I don't know what the translation of that would be. But
does it help you actually walk on water?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I think you fall right in. Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, on the days that you're lazy, you can just kind of stand in your hot tub. It's like a standing hot tub, kind of. I'd tell you how much it costs, but I couldn't read any of the words on the site because it's not in English.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Sad.
I'll work on that for another time. TNT records live every Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC at twit.tv/live. You can be part of the show by emailing us, tnt@twit.tv. You can leave us a short voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW, and find us on Twitter. We're at Tech News Today TV.
And we're also at our subreddit. That's technewstoday.reddit.com. We have some stories there already. You can upvote them. You can downvote them. You can add your own. And you can subscribe to our show. That's at twit.tv/TNT. And you can tweet at me. I'm at Megan Maroney. And Burke has something he needs to add in the Burke chat.
He really wants everyone to know that he thinks VLC is the best media player. Burke's words.
He actually almost walked out when we lumped VLC.
I heard a guffaw.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, mad at us. You didn't see he threw something at me.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I'm happy that I didn't see that. Otherwise, Burke, I've been right over there, man.
Yeah,
don't do that.
Burke chat keeps us honest.
Yes, it's true. I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter. Thanks to Burke, of course, for helping out in the studio. Thanks to our technical director, Brian Burnett. Thanks to Kevin for editing the show. And thanks to you for talking tech with us today. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye, everybody.